Welcome to Hillard Church of the Nazareth. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
And I'll praise when I'm doubting.
I'll praise when I'm numbered. I'll praise when surrounded. His praise is the water my enemies drown in. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise. Brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to you reign. Praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise cause you're faithful. Praise cause you're true. Praise cause there's nobody greater than you. I'll praise cause you're sovereign. Praise cause you reign. Praise cause you rose and defeated the grave. I'll praise cause you're faithful. Praise cause you're true. Praise cause there's nobody greater than
side, so heaven is real and
death is a lie. I wanna hear voices of angels above, singing as one, hallelujah. Holy, holy, God Almighty, the great I am, who is worthy, none beside me. God Almighty, the great I am.
The mountains shake before you. The
demons run and flee at the mention of your name.
Oh,
'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again.
Acts 26, if you were here last week, I asked you a question. Our district superintendent posed to all the pastors and the people that were in attendance at our district meeting. And it was a meeting where he shared what was going on in the district, and it was all good news. All attendance was up, numbers were up, salvations were up, baptisms were up. We had a 20% increase in discipleship year over year, and growth in nearly every category. But he ended up with this question that he posed to us. He said, are you satisfied? Are you satisfied? And there was something that just welled up inside of me. Kind of like a righteous indignation. I don't even know if that's the right term. But I was like, no. There's no way. I mean, our numbers are good. Our numbers are up year over year. But am I satisfied with where we're at as a church? There's more. Right? We have good things to report. I see growth in people's lives that I haven't seen. I see people stepping out and doing things. You know, Troy, what you did is an indication of that. It's scary to get up here and pray. I'm sorry, I thought when I asked you about doing announcements that you just know that there's a prayer at the end of that, but if you just know that, if I ask you to do announcements, we want to step out of our comfort zone. 31 people in our church wanted to be baptized last year, right? But I know there's much more that we could be doing for the kingdom of God. Much more if we would surrender our lives completely to him and be sanctified, right? We need to be about building his kingdom. And far too many of us are just kind of focused in on our kingdoms. And whatever that means, we need to be about building his kingdom. And my prayer is just for that, that we would be kingdom workers, right? This is an area that we need to be stretched in. As you know, I hurt my shoulder, and I've been in a sling for 5 weeks, and just started physical therapy this week. The first phase involves stretching. That's what they're doing, just getting it working, getting it moving, and everything like that. My arm is being pulled and pushed in a bunch of different directions, and it hurts, right? It hurts when you go through that physical therapy. I told the lady the first day, I told the guy the second day, is like, I don't like you guys, right? I really don't like you guys now. But I told him, I'm sure that will change in a couple months. I'm sure I'll change my opinion of you. I'm wondering if we're willing to be stretched. Not everybody goes through physical therapy. A lot of people don't do it, or they cheat it, right? Or they don't do it all the way that they should. Some people just avoid it. And I think that's the kind of the same way with us and what God calls us to do. Because often what he calls us to do stretches us, right? Come and pray in front of everybody. Am I going to do that, or am I going to say no to that, right? I'm praying that this is a season that God stretches us as a church. What's in store for you if you take part in that? Pain? Awkwardness? Just stepping out of your comfort zone. That's what's in store for you. And it's scary. It's scary. But in the end, it's good. A leap of faith is always scary. But in the end, God is always faithful. And our faith muscles will be developed if we go along with it. Right? All right. Christianity will never be boring to you. I remember being a teenager, Christianity was boring. I didn't want to come to church. My mom made me come to church. I guarantee you, if you give just one principle, Christianity will never be boring to you. It will totally flip your life upside down, right? Will you let him stretch you? He will try, but not everyone will let him. Some of you will pull back. I'm praying that there's a good portion of you, though, that allow yourself to be. Amen? Acts 8:26. This is God's word. That's why we stand for it. Let our heart be postured to receive it, right? Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means Queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless somebody explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or somebody else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today. Father, make us have soft hearts, eyes that are open, ears are open. We want to hear from you. Nobody's interested in hearing from a pastor but find a pulpit. Lord, we want to hear from your word and be challenged by it, be transformed by it. Holy Spirit, have your way, Lord. Do whatever you want. Father, I pray for every other church in our community preaching the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that they would be blessed beyond measure, Lord, and I pray that you would send us all out from this place and give us divine appointments to speak truth, to do what you call us to do, so that lives may be changed, so that people may be reconciled to you. Lord, we love you and we give you all praise. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I love this account. Some people have the gift of evangelism. They are very forward type people. They seem very confident in what they are doing. They can go door to door. They can preach on the street corner. That's a small number of people with that gift. And many of us might not have that gift, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't share the good news with people around us, right? This is a picture of what it can look like. And I just want to take a minute and go through this. Who was Philip? Who was Philip? He was not one of the 12 disciples. That's a different Philip. This guy was what you would call a layperson in the church, a person that served somewhere in ministry of the church, right? Like many of you. If you remember in Acts chapter 6, there were some widows that were not being fed. And so the church got together and they picked seven people to make sure that that got taken care of. Philip was one of those lay leaders, one of those people serving in ministry. He was also a person, though, that shared Jesus Christ every opportunity that he got to, that God called him to, with those that God provided those divine appointments with, right? How did this lay person, not a preacher, not a pastor, not some great theologian, right? How did he do it? First thing I want you to know, first thing, maybe if you're taking notes, you can write this down. He was a person that listened, right? He was a person that listened. Now, an angel spoke to him at first. That's what we see, and he, of course, listened to him. I've never had an angel speak to me, appear before me, not even in a dream, but I have had the Holy Spirit speak to me, like he did at the later part of this passage, right? He has spoken to me and prompted me to do things. And I'm sure he has you as well. I can usually tell that this is something from God because it's something always that he calls me to do that I wouldn't normally want to do, right? He always calls me to step out of my comfort zone, to do something that normally just not in my wheelhouse, right? So I know that if there's somebody calling me to do something that I normally wouldn't do, and I know if it lines up with God's word, I know that's the Holy Spirit's leading. Have you ever experienced those calls? Have you ever been prompted to give money away, right, to some cause or to something? I know that's not coming from me, right? I want to hold on to my money, but he prompts me to do those things. Has he ever prompted you to go talk to the person, some person? I know that's not coming from me because I'm a very shy person. I do not like to talk to strangers and people that I know, so I know it's definitely not from me. But God speaks to us, and he prompts us, and he calls us to be stretched, right? And it's not always easy. It's not always something that feels good. A lot of times it's kind of painful and awkward. Will we allow ourselves to be prompted and listen and obey? That's the question, right? Notice that the direction that Philip got was not to share the gospel with some certain person. No, verse 25, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Oftentimes, the Holy Spirit will just call us to do something as kind of a first step. Take a meal to someone, and then let's see where that meal leads to, right? Have you ever woken up at 4 a.m. and just were called to pray for someone? I had the best night's sleep last night that I've had, and like seems like Saturday night is just really amazing. And I know somebody's praying for me. In fact, somebody told me that they were praying for me because they came up and they said, hey, how'd you sleep last night? And I'm like, great, were you praying for me? Yes. There's a reason for that. If God wakes you up in the middle of the night and puts somebody on your heart, pray for them, right? Pray for them. I want to share some stories with you. A lot of you guys didn't go to the discipleship meeting at the district thing, so I stole that sermon, stole a lot of things from that sermon. I'm going to bring the discipleship meeting to you and give you a lot of examples from Dr. Rainey. He told us a story about his neighbors. He and his wife were living in a triplex when they were going to school. Very early on in his life, they met this couple and they quickly became friends with them. These people were Christians, and one day the stepfather and mom of the wife that they met came over to their house, and Dr. Rainey got to meet that stepdad. He quickly realized this guy was not a Christian. This guy was not a follower of Christ. But here's what happened. Through that experience, Dr. Rainey and his wife and this couple's family began to pray for this stepdad. Well, the lady came over one day super excited because her and her husband had invited their parents to church, and her parents actually agreed to go with them. So Dr. Rainey and his wife began to earnestly pray and pray and pray, right? Can I mention this too? Like, when I ask you to pray, when I ask you to come pray, this is what I'm hoping happens. I'm hoping we pray for your stepdad. I'm hoping we pray for your kid who doesn't know Christ, right? That's a privilege to pray for those things. And some people, I know those things that are going on, and I pray for you, but I'd love to pray with you for those things. That's what Sunday night's about, right? That's what these times of prayer are about, to just get together and pray. But the Sunday came for this couple, and they were sitting in the back. They were sitting in the back, saving seats for their parents, but their parents didn't come in until after the service started. Well, they came in, all right, and the wife was sitting near the empty seats, and she kind of expected her mom to come in first and sit next to her. But for some reason, her stepdad came in and sat down next to her, probably because they came in late, and that's just the way it happened, right? Just a coincidence. Well, she started to pray in that moment, and that's what we need to do when we're talking to people and when we hope to see something happen, right? And God told her very clearly something to do. He said, I want you to grab your stepdad's hand. And she was like, oh Lord, we don't have that kind of relationship. That's just going to be really awkward if I were to do something like that. Isn't that what we do with God when he tells us to do something? We explain why that's a bad idea, right? God told her, grab his hand. So she did. And she held on to it the entire service, right? And so even at the end of the service, everyone got up, and they're still sitting there holding hands, right? And the guy looked to her, the stepdad turned to her and said, why in the world did you grab my hand, right? And she just told him, I just felt like God wanted me to do that, called me to do that. This is what he told her. He said, right before that happened, when I came in and I sat down, when he got to church, he said, he started praying to God, and he said, God, I don't even know if you exist. I don't even know if you care that I'm here. I don't even know if you see me here, but would you just do something to let me know that you do? And right after that is when she grabbed his hand. Awkward. Time of stretching, right? But God used that moment and a season of talking through that, and that man ended up giving his life to Jesus Christ in a matter of months, right? That moment led to that. That's what you can be a part of if you're willing to be stretched, if you're willing to step out of your comfort zone. Will Christianity ever be boring for that lady again? Seeing what God did when she was obedient and said yes, I guarantee you Christianity will never be boring for her. And I guarantee it for you as well. If you'll step out in faith, he will be faithful and it'll change your world. Amen? My friends, are we listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit? Are we willing to obey them even when they're weird? Even when we don't understand them, right? Are we in prayer talking to God in those moments? These types of stories often start with prayer. Are you praying or are you too busy? Are you listening or are you too busy? Do you have a quiet time or are you too busy? Right? Are you willing to be stretched? If you're too busy for all those things, man, what are you going to miss out on? What are you going to miss out on? Right? Verse 26, Philip heard the message from the Lord. Verse 27, he obeyed. So he started out, and on his way, he met this Ethiopian eunuch. Notice he didn't know where he was going. Notice God didn't explain everything to him before he went, right? He didn't know what he was going to find there. He just heard the call of God and obeyed it. And my friends, you and I must do the same. Next, notice, right, the person that God brought him to. Notice who he was. End of verse 27. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. This Ethiopian eunuch, for some reason, had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah. What we have to understand is that God is at work in people's lives. That's what we have to understand. God is doing the heavy lifting. God is convicting. God is reaching out to people, right? God is calling people to himself. And he also calls us to be a part of that, to be his hands and feet, right? This Ethiopian eunuch was what we would say is a person who is spiritually open. Those are the people we especially want to look for. This wasn't somebody that was rejecting God. This wasn't somebody who was walking away from God. This wasn't somebody that was just totally angry and not able to talk to, right? God was clearly at work in this person's life, and Philip got to talk to him. When you're at work, listen to the conversations that are going on. Listen for the signs of spiritual openness. Often when people are going through life-changing events like deaths, like sicknesses, like losing a job, right? Those are often times that people start to spiritually open up and think about the eternal. The question is, though, will we even notice if that's going on? Will we even listen to the conversations? You ever had a conversation and you're not really listening to it? You're just kind of making small talk? Listen to those conversations and look for signs, right? Be in prayer when you're talking to your coworkers and your neighbors. You can tell when somebody isn't spiritually open. It's usually very obvious when somebody's like that, and I handle those conversations way differently. But I want to encourage you to listen for the ones that are. Dr. Rainey told a story of a time I think he was flying Southwest maybe, and he didn't sign up for his airline seat early enough, and he ended up getting stuck in one of those middle seats, right? I hate the middle seats on an airline. There was a guy in headphones in the aisleway. There was a woman sitting next to the window. She was looking out it. He sat down and he just started to make some small talk with her and asked her where she was from. She told him that, where she was from, but she also said, "But I'm very, very tired," right? That's a sign, right? And so he got that sign, and so he quit talking to her. And she ended up going to sleep. Now, the guy with the headphones wasn't going to be talking to him, and so he thought, I got up early. I didn't have a time to do my quiet time, and so he started to do his quiet time right there. He pulled out his Bible on that airline and just started to pray and talk and read the Word. Well, that woman woke up. She saw what he was doing, and she asked him, what are you doing? And so he just explained, I'm having a time alone with the Lord. I'm spending time with him. And she responded by saying, I used to go to church. That's a sign, right? When somebody says, I used to go to church, they want to tell somebody why they used to go to church. Listen to the conversations and allow God to work in them, right? Well, he asked her, so why did you stop? And she told her story. She was 13 years old when she got pregnant. Her mom pressured into her to have an abortion, but she didn't, so she ended up having that kid. The issue was, when she went to church, there were a lot of eyes that were on her, right? A lot of eyes on an extremely young mother. And when she had that kid, there was a lot of confusion. Is this your sister, or what's going on? And you can imagine those conversations and what would come from those conversations when you're constantly explaining, no, this isn't my sister, this is actually my kid. And she came to the place where she just felt like she couldn't go to church anymore because of the shame that she was feeling. Now, it just so happened that Dr. Rainey had a story involving some similar things. Just so happened, right? The people that you meet with that have gone through something or are going through something that you went through, and God did something amazing. So he told her what God did in his situation, and I don't have time to go into that. But towards the end of his conversation, a thought came into his mind. Thought just happened to come into his mind. And he asked the lady, have you ever thought that Jesus could have just died for you in the garden, right? He could have just died for you. When the soldiers came, right? He could have died for you. His blood could have been spilt for you. You could have experienced the forgiveness of sins. But that didn't happen, right? Jesus was taken. He was taken in front of a court, right? He was mocked. He was beaten. He was paraded through the streets, through all the people, through the crowds. He was paraded through those, right? And then he was nailed to a cross right at the city gate. They brought him up on a hill so that everybody could see. They nailed him to that cross, and for hours, everybody who went into that city would pass by and see this man crucified there. A man that was stripped, right? His clothes taken from him. And all along his journey, he was spit on. He was made fun of, right? He was abused. And he asked her, have you ever thought about that and what he went through and why? He could have just died in the garden, right? And he said, maybe God wants you to know that he didn't just die for your sins, but he died for your shame as well. Right? Hebrews 12:2, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, right? And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That lady leaned back and she said, I never talk to people on planes. That started a relationship, right? You can't tell me, first of all, that that wasn't a divine appointment, that he just happened to sit in that seat next to that lady, right? And have that conversation. God has divine appointments for you and me if we're willing to listen and to respond and obey, right? That woman ended up driving a long way to come to his church because she was just blown away by what that man said. And she would end up coming over for meals. He would invite her over, him and his wife would invite her over to her house. And in one of those meals, they explained about Jesus Christ and asked if she wanted to repent and give her life to Jesus Christ. And she said, yes. We want to look for people that are spiritually open, and we want to be available. Big idea, my friends. We are called to walk with people, not just to share the good news with people. We are called to walk with people on this journey of grace that we are all on. Amen? Who are the people that you're walking with? Who are the people that you're doing life with, that you're encouraging, that you're leading, that you're being mentored by, right? We need to have those people in our lives. Look for people that are spiritually open and be available. Verse 29, go to that chariot and stay near it. Stay near it, right? Stay near these people. Listen, go and stay near them. Be available. Be available for that person that doesn't know Christ. I have friends that are atheists that I've witnessed to and they've rejected, but I want to be spiritually available and open just in case, right? God moves that conversation in a different direction. You can always offer to pray for people. You can always offer to approach the throne room of God when they're going through things. And hopefully they feel the Holy Spirit's move in that, right? Next principle, ask good questions. Look at verse 30. Then Philip ran to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? He asked. Notice he just doesn't go into the gospel presentation right then and there. He asks, listens, and then asks a question instead. Dr. Rainey had another story and asked a couple questions with that woman that we saw in that. Asking questions, right? Why did you quit going to church? Just starting conversations with them allows us to understand where a person really is coming from. Or we get a better idea of where they're at and what they're dealing with, right? A good question goes a long way. We often think that you need to have all the answers when you talk to people to share the good news. That's what we get scared of, right? We think you have to have good answers, but maybe we just need to have good questions and a real willingness to listen and see where a person is. That's a skill set, right? If you walk with anyone, if you share the gospel with anyone, they're going to ask you questions, right? Maybe they're going to ask you a question like, do I have to give up drinking? Or that's a common one. What do I have to give up in order to follow Jesus Christ? So maybe you think about that and you just ask them, well, if God asked you to give up drinking, would you be willing to? Flip it around. Instead of worrying about giving them an answer, flip it around and just give them a question. Maybe they ask you something that you don't know the answer to, and maybe you say, you know, I'm thinking about that in my head, you know. What do you think about it? Ask them the same question back there. People don't share often. Christians don't share often because they're scared that they don't have all the answers. But you can ask questions, right? Verse 31, this is the hardest point for me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is significant, right? Philip, this is just a symbol. Philip receives hospitality from this eunuch. That's what's happening here. Come up in my chariot. We usually think that we Christians have to be the ones giving hospitality to people, right? That's where I like to be, right? As a Christian, I want to be the person that's giving somebody a meal. I want to be on that end, not the receiving end. And that's just a pride issue for me. I like to help people, not be helped, right? When Adivi and the kids went to South America, was it South America or Latin America? One of those two, South somewhere. Some people offered in here to do meals for me. Some people offered to have me over to their house. And being the prideful, shy person I am, I turned that down. And I ended up hurting one relationship in particular. I damaged that, and I had to ask those people for forgiveness. If you're like me, you don't like receiving help. You don't like receiving hospitality. But if you're going to walk with somebody on this journey of grace, we got to learn to do it. Learn to accept that help. The Ethiopian was a very wealthy person, right? Treasurer of the Queen of Ethiopia. He's the one in the chariot. He's the one with servants. He was the one who had the ability to invite this new believer, right? Who was probably being persecuted, who probably had lost his job, who probably had nothing, who was running alongside the chariot, had the ability to invite him up into the chariot. Sometimes the hardest people to talk to about Jesus Christ are really successful people. Those are the people that I really struggle to. Philip received hospitality, though, from this person. And from that humble position, was able to minister to them, was able to share the gospel. Can you hear that? From a humble position, was able to share that with them. Jesus went to a well, right? It was a hot day when he went there, and there was a Samaritan woman drawing water from him from the well. And what did he ask her? Hey, can you give me a drink? And from that humble position that a Jewish person would never have done, right? Especially a Jewish rabbi. From that position, he told her about the water of life that he had, that he could offer her, right? We need to accept hospitality. If you're like me, do a better job of that. Dr. Rainey told a story about this. He had an uncle who was very wealthy, a very intimidating person to share the gospel with. Wealthy and family. Those are the two, I think, hardest people to share the gospel with, and that was combined in this one person. That's just scary. Well, he reached out to this man, this uncle, and he wanted to talk to him and just meet with him, and his uncle, who was 91 years old, agreed, and they got together. Dr. Rainey prayed for 2 weeks prior to this meeting. 2 weeks about this conversation because he needed courage to go talk to him. Well, that day came and he went and he met with him. The conversation was going perfect, just as he had kind of worked it out with God and prayed about and talked about, up until the point that he wanted to share the gospel. And then the uncle changed kind of the direction of the conversation in Stockton. His uncle asked him, hey, what kind of car are you driving, and do you like it? And at this time, Dr. Rainey was driving a minivan with over 200,000 miles on it. It was an older one, so he told him, no, it's not really a vehicle that we like. But they had just gotten back from the mission field and didn't have money to really purchase a new car. The uncle asked him if he looked at buying a new vehicle, and he said, yeah, we looked at one. We looked at a vehicle called a Kia Telluride. The uncle asked him, hey, do you know how much that thing costs? And he told him, yeah, about $44,000. And the uncle asked him how much he got saved up. And he said, about $4,000. And out of the blue, the uncle offered to pay for the car for him. He said, I want to write you a check so that you can purchase it. That took him off guard, right? Nobody had ever done anything like that before him. He quickly told him, though, that's not the reason I'm here. I don't know if the uncle thought that was the reason that he came to ask for money, but he quickly told him, because he felt bad, that he really just wanted to talk to him about Jesus Christ. He wanted to talk to him about his relationship with God. So he took that opportunity right then to share the gospel with him. Well, that uncle listened very, very carefully, and he asked the uncle, hey, would you like to repent and give your life to Jesus Christ and trust him to save you? And the uncle told him, you know, I really appreciate what you did. Nobody's ever explained the gospel to me like that. But then he said, you know what? I've lived my life for 90 years believing one thing, and it's something else other than this. But he told him, you know what? I'll think about what you said, though. So when Dr. Rainey left, the uncle wrote him a check, and he ended up buying that car that he had told him about. Some time passed, and Dr. Rainey went to one of his mentors because he really wanted to reach out back to his uncle, but he wasn't sure how to approach him. And his mentor told him, use the car, right? Use the car. And Dr. Rainey was like, what do you mean, use the car? He said, you didn't deserve it, right? You didn't earn it. You didn't pay for it. He loved you, and he gave it as a gift to you. All you had to do was receive it, right? Use the car. Ding, 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 right? So he wrote out a letter to that uncle and explained the gospel again, using the whole idea behind with the vehicle to share it. That uncle got that letter and read it one morning. Just so happened, coincidence, that another pastor showed up that afternoon who he was scheduled to talk about his funeral. They were planning his funeral. And that pastor went to share the gospel with them. He started the presentation off by asking the uncle, if you gave somebody a gift, right, and they didn't accept it, how would it make you feel, right? All of that, right in line, perfect with what he just read from Dr. Rainey and what he had experienced with giving that vehicle. Coincidence or divine appointment, right? Divine appointment. That doesn't happen if Dr. Rainey wouldn't have accepted that gift, right? We need to accept hospitality. Let it humble us. And from that position, serve. From that position, preach the gospel, right? That may allow you to preach the gospel to somebody that you wouldn't normally have the ability to do that. That just might let you walk with somebody on this journey of grace. My friends, sharing the gospel and walking with people is where we need to be stretched in this season that we're in. Will you allow God to do that? That's the real question. Last thing, verse 35, then Philip began with the very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. My friends, we need to be willing to share the gospel. Every one of us. People all the time are scared by this. But here's the thing. You lived it. You've experienced it. So all you have to do is tell people what happened to you. That's sharing the gospel, right? People will listen to what you believe sometimes. They'll listen more, though, to why you believe, what you experienced, what your testimony is. And they can't ever doubt that. They can't ever criticize that, right? They can criticize what you believe, what you think is the truth, right? But not what you've experienced, because you've experienced it. You can share that with them, right? All of us, we're walking this way in life, right? We are all headed towards destruction. We're all living for ourselves, right? And then one day, we encounter Jesus Christ. One day, We heard about this God who loved us enough that he came down and died for us on a cross. And we learned that his death paid the price for our sins, right? And we were all posed with a question, either to keep going in our direction, which we know where this was heading. It's leading towards destruction, right? Or to turn, repent, and follow him, give our lives to him, right? And we made that decision to trust him for our salvation, to put our faith in what he had done on the cross. And what happened? It was like a weight was lifted off of us. Do you remember back when that happened? And he gave us a new life, right? And ever since then, that's the path that we're on now, following Jesus Christ. Are we perfect? Heck no. But are we looking more and more like him? I pray we are, right? Is he giving you more and more joy, more and more freedom every day that you follow him? That's all you have to tell people. That's the message of the gospel. And then you just ask him a question, because questions are good, right? Is there anything that would prevent you from making that same decision? And then pray with them. That's it. In your bulletin is a Romans Road to Salvation. And it's just using the book of Romans, it's just a pathway that if you want to lead somebody through Christ to Christ, you can kind of just read these passages of scriptures, right? Stop number one. For we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners, every one of us. The closer I go to God, the more I realize just what a sinner I am, and how I am desperate for God's mercy to save me, right? Stop two, for the wages of sin is death. There's a problem. Our sin brings death. But here's the solution. But the gracious gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, right? God's grace. We're all sinners. Our sin earns death, but God's grace, right? And then Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we were sinners, right? We didn't have to fix our life, turn it up, right? He died for us. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Belief, right? Faith in what he did, confessing it, that's a part of it. In verse 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Take them through that. Just read those scriptures with them. Take them through that and ask them if they want to give their life to Jesus Christ, right? A couple years ago, Andy, I think, or your family asked me to do a funeral. And being bivocational, I don't have a lot of free time, right? And so I really didn't know your stepfather too well. And so, like, what's my humanness come up with? Excuses why I shouldn't do this. But God's prompting said, no, you do it, right? And so I said yes, did the funeral, said and done. We're standing outside, and then all of a sudden this guy comes up to me, and he tells me his life story, how he had just left Columbus, right? He had gotten out of a relationship with his boyfriend, right? And we just started a conversation. And I think all I did was invite you to church. I don't even know if I invited you to church. But later on, I got a chance to reach out through Facebook and just encourage him to come. And that guy started coming. We started walking together in life, right? And look what God did, right? He's now away from that old lifestyle, living for Christ, feels called to be a pastor, and now he's on that journey. And I'll walk with you on that journey, right? Till you quit walking with me. I will be here for you. That's what we need to do. We need to walk with people. I didn't come out and say, hey, you need to get away from this and everything like that. Man, I just wanted him back in relationship with Christ, and then we'll walk together and work on those other issues, right? That's what you do. Introduce people to Jesus Christ. Walk with them and wait for the opportunity. Wait for the Spirit's leading and follow it. Amen? Stand with me. The question is, will you allow yourself to be stretched? Unfortunately, a lot of people will pull back from that, and you won't. But I just want to tell you, if you will, it'll change your life. You'll get to experience things that you wouldn't trade for anything else. You'll get to not to lead people to Christ, right? But to see God bring people to himself. You'll get to see that and be a part of that. You'll get to see God transform people's lives. You'll grow in your faith, right? And things will never be the same again if you'll listen and do what the Lord calls you to do. Lord, I pray that that would happen. I pray that that would happen this week. I pray that that would happen at this downtown service, Lord. I pray that you would call us to do things. Call us to maybe go speak to a person. Take us out of our comfort zone. Father, let us not be people that pull back from that. But let us be people that trust you. Even if it means looking stupid, Lord. I know many times I've reached out to people and looked probably dumb doing it. But I know you're reaching out to them. And there's reason behind it. Father, let us be awkward. Let us be willing to be ridiculed. Give us a boldness to reach people. Lord, put somebody in our path that we can walk with on this journey, right? And let us encourage those people towards Christ. And let us be encouraged by those people towards you, Lord. Lord, we love you and we give you praise. In your name we pray. Amen.